Welcome to Speak for Yourself. Happy Monday. I'm Jason Whitlock. That's Marcellus Wiley. Sir. Coming up, we'll tell you if Mike McCarthy deserved to be fired.
And if Lamar Jackson has done enough to keep the Ravens' starting job. But we start every day with a Whitlock. What you got today, big dog?
All right, even with the Raiders and the Bengals left on their schedule, Ben Roethlisberger, Mike Tomlin, and the Pittsburgh Steelers can figure out a way to miss the playoffs. You say it's impossible. You didn't watch last night's Chargers-Steelers game. Pittsburgh led 23-7 at halftime. The Steelers lost 33-30. Before last night, the Steelers were 174-0-1 in home games. They led by at least 16 points. What happened last night had never happened in the 85-year history of the organization. In comparison, losing the AFC North Division this season would be easy. A previously insurmountable lead over the Ravens has been reduced to a half game with four to play. Pittsburgh is 7-4-1, Baltimore is 7-5. Pittsburgh's final leg of the season is the Raiders, Patriots, Saints, and Bengals. Pittsburgh has one victory this season over a team with a winning record. 6 weeks ago, the Steelers beat the Ravens on the road. Why can't the Steelers beat the good teams? They're too reliant on Big Ben. Last night, there was a lot of whining about bad officiating. The refs missed a false start on a Chargers touchdown pass. The refs did not cost Pittsburgh that game. Big Ben did. He threw another horrible interception, and he missed a wide-open receiver for a touchdown. Ben is being asked to do too much as a passer and a leader. In a game they dominated on the scoreboard, the Steelers' offense once again had no balance. Ben threw it 45 times, and Pittsburgh ran it just 17 times. It's the exact same formula that got the Steelers beating Denver last week. Ben threw it 56 times in Mile High, and Pittsburgh ran it just 16 times. Veteran championship quarterbacks are built to be efficient, not prolific. Alvin Kamara and Mark Ingram have Drew Brees in the thick of an MVP race. Yesterday, Tom Brady jammed the New England running game down the gut of the Vikings defense. New England ran the ball 39 times and threw it 32. Phillip Rivers trailed by two touchdowns most of the game and still threw the ball nine fewer times than Roethlisberger. I love Big Ben. He's a Mac legend. He plays like John Elway. But Big Ben is sloppy with his decision-making on and off the field. He's a gunslinger. He throws interceptions and he doesn't regret throwing them. He said last week he's not apologizing for any interceptions. Let me say this again. I love Big Ben, but he's not a leader, not a good one. He's not accountable. Last week, he tossed a horrific interception to a defensive tackle. He called it a lucky fluke play. Then he turned around and criticized his teammates and said he's earned the right to call them out. Hey, Ben, how about earning the right to protect the football? Try that and shut your trap. The gunslinger era of professional football is over. It's a game of efficiency now. Interceptions matter a lot. Ben, you lead the league in passing attempts and yards, and you're number two in interceptions thrown. And guess what, Big Ben? The Baltimore Ravens might win your division with an option quarterback. Think about it. All right, you say it's impossible. You didn't watch. Joining the desk now are Tony Gonzalez and D'Angelo Hall, two great former NFL players. Start with you, Marcellus.
Yeah.
I think Big Ben is at the heart of Pittsburgh's problems. He's not a good leader, and they're putting too much of a burden on him.
Ah, you did your homework. you had me almost balling up my piece of paper over here saying my notes are not going to help this argument. But I say twofold. One is that they were playing a very strong, formidable opponent that's been understated and not fully respected in the Chargers. So let's just table that right now. But let's talk about Big Ben, the leader. Big Ben, the leader, remember, they have won six of their last eight games. And that was with Big Ben being the leader and going out there and making sure that despite the running game being inconsistent, let's call it what it is, you can say James Conner's having an amazing year because he's third in rushing and third in touchdowns. But we also could say this is not the same offense with James Conner behind center, behind Ben Roethlisberger versus Le'Veon Bell being that same workhorse, because Le'Veon Bell wouldn't be third. He would be first or second. And I've seen it now. James Conner yesterday before injury, what do you have, 79 scrimmage yards, 18 carries. That's not exactly what's going to give you balance and respect. So this is a situation where you did what most people do. Reputation precedes you. You look at Big Ben and you say leadership, you're not really staying between the white lines. You're not. You're starting to say, oh, well, he's had his issues in the locker room. He's called out his teammates. He's done other things off the field. And it snowballs, and all you need is just one little flake to jump on in and say Big Ben's not a great leader. This is a great leader. This is a 13-3 ball club last year. This is a team that's still leading this division, 1-6-8, and Big Ben's a large part of that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you. I believe Big Ben is a good leader. I think some of the ways he's calling out his teammates probably can be toned down a little bit. But I saw him after the game. Well, I saw the interview after the game, I should say. I didn't see him personally. And he was forthcoming by saying, hey, I threw that interception. I did this wrong. I did that wrong. And so he's accepting responsibility when he makes the mistakes. But at the same time, I think he has earned the right to call guys out. If you have a two-time Super Bowl winning quarterback in his 15th year. Hmm. If he can't call you out in that locker room, me as a young guy in that locker room, I don't know who else can.
Mm-hmm. Well, then, for me, personally, it better work both ways then. I mean, Antonio Brown going to go in there and say, well, he shouldn't have thrown that interception. He should. That's what I get. Leadership-wise, yeah, there are better leaders out there than Big Ben, for sure. I think if you look throughout the NFL, there's other quarterbacks that I would say are doing it better. Mm-hmm. Because, first of all, I don't like it when you're talking to the media. I think he's got the radio show. Some players had radio. Hell, I even had one while I was playing. You do this type of stuff, you put yourself in a position to get criticized. I don't understand why Tom Brady even does it. I believe that Ben is a great quarterback, no doubt about it. But at the same time, his leadership, yeah, I question a little bit. And this is coming from a guy, if I could go back to my locker room when I was younger, I saw Dick Vermeil last week, and we were talking shop, and I said, man, you know what? I wish I would have done it a little bit better for you, coach, because I could have changed it. I think when he gets back a little bit older, he'll look back and say, I could have handled things a little bit differently.
See, when I look back at this game last night, the big thing to me is just the defense. Like, the defense didn't come back out and play great. If you watch that first half, Pittsburgh controlled the offensive and defensive lines. In the second half, it was a totally different ball game to the point that I didn't even believe that was the same team. So I don't know what speech Coach Lynn gave those guys in the L.A. locker room, but whatever he did definitely galvanized his troops because they were a different ball club, and it hit Pittsburgh right in the mouth, and they weren't
D'Angelo, ready. You had to know, though. You hold Phillip Rivers. He's been hot. You hold him to 7 points. You know he's going to do something in the second half. It's a matter of time. And so if you have a running game, and this is where I don't put it all on Ben. I blame the coaching staff or whatever.
Yeah.
If you have a running game, lean into it. Get some balance. Look around the league at what everybody else is doing, and the Steelers are still out there. Now we're going to drop back and sling it 45 times. With Ben, it's too much on his plate. He's a bad decision maker. He done told you, I don't care about interceptions. He told you,
yeah.
I don't care.
Yeah.
He's not aware of the league that he's in now. It's an efficiency league. Those turnovers are more magnified than in the old NFL than they are right now. He's got to realize that and be more careful with the ball, and they got to protect him from himself. Look at the older quarterbacks around the league and how much more efficient they are and how much more they're leaning into their running game. Ben and the Steelers are doing just the opposite with a quarterback whose decision-making from day one has been sloppy.
Yeah, it's tough to say that because the numbers don't support it, even though the optics may. The optics are...
He's got 26 TDs and 13 interceptions, Marcellus.
Yeah, also, but we're talking about in a win-loss-sum game. I looked it up just now. The six performances that you're talking about where Big Ben has went out there and thrown for 45-plus passes. You know what his record is? 3-3. Like, we win some, we lose some. But guess what? It's not just that.
You think that's a 500 football team with all that personnel?
I don't. You're saying just in attempts. So then I say, let's go bigger than that. Big Ben and the two losses that they've had, 3 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. It's not like he's out there. Cam Newton threw 4 in 1 game, and we're talking about him in the MVP conversation. We're talking about Big Ben is still a leader of a team that is formidable. What's happening is the numbers support that the running game is starting to evaporate. And we don't want to poke at the great story of James Conner, but it's starting to, whether it's by injury or whether it's just by production, we're starting to see
lack
a little tell off.
Some of it's by Marcella. Lack of commitment. They just not running the ball.
They're
they
not,
chose that.
They're not Baltimore. I respect that. But there's a reason why they're they're also not fully committed to their running game as well. Yesterday was not about that. Yesterday was about playing the L.A. Chargers, which is a real deal team that most people didn't respect, and then they woke up in the second half.
Don't you think this, though? We're looking at Ben, but I always believe this, too. It's not he's not the only leader on that team now. Coach Tomlin is the leader, too. Mm. So I don't care who it is. You look at Belichick, they said Tom Brady has a radio show. But Tom Brady never says anything controversial. And I'm sure that was in a conversation when he first went to his coach. And I know for sure he had to ask Belichick, is it okay if we do it? Because that's not the Patriot way. And I'm sure Belichick said, as long as you handle your business, don't do anything to embarrass us. This guy's on a radio show. Tomlin is an emotional guy. This is just who the Pittsburgh Steelers are. Mm. I think it's bad leadership all the way around.
Listen, I think that Big Ben has more leverage in that organization than even Tomlin. And this is where I've been saying this. And again, Big Ben's one of my favorite players, but he's just wrong a lot of times. And in terms of the tone that he sets, and he has labeled himself just last week, I'm a gunslinger. He has no awareness. The gunslinger era is over.
He threw one pick, and you call him a gunslinger to a negative
connotation.
No,
he threw it 45 times and 56 times the last.
And one pick in 45 attempts?
That's all it takes.
Okay, but here we go. Big Ben was not wrong 2 weeks ago when he called out Antonio Brown. You may not like the method, but he called him out. What did Antonio Brown do yesterday in the first half? Catch touchdowns. And they came out on fire. And then the second half was about
you know
the
what?
LA Chargers.
Awarded him a trophy at halftime.
Yeah. Second half, he had 4 catches for 30 yards. And in the first half, he had, I think, 6 or 7 for 120.
But you just told me how the defense is what actually got taxed in the second half.
The defense got taxed?
Right.
A lot of individual players didn't perform. That's why I say what the Chargers did, whatever they went in that locker room and did, was much more inspiring to that group than whatever Pittsburgh said.
Because they're a good football
room.
Team. The Chargers
Thank
are a good
you.
Playoff type
that,
football team.
But you
team.
Don't lose a game when you're up 23-7 9
at out home.
Of 10 times.
Oh, I can
home.
Tell you the recipe for it. First of all, it's not hocus pocus. Tony's right. This is a good team that had to wipe the fog from their eyes, traveling cross country primetime, not used to both of those. And then what happened, D'Angelo, was this. No Melvin Gordon for the first half. They had to get used to, this is our new offense going forward for the next few weeks. Second half, they came out with the adjustments and said, we're a damn good team. Let's go get this. And that's all they did.
You use your running game and keep them on the sidelines. You never allow Joey Bosa to get into the game with a sack if you're committed to your running game. Look, man. Look at what Russell Wilson and the Seahawks are doing with the commitment to the running game. That's not a great running game, but they're committed to it. Look at what's going on in their own division. Just like I said, they got an option quarterback that's won 3 straight games. There's a commitment to the running game. Everybody, Patrick Mahomes, and I love him to death, and I love what the Chiefs are doing. But they're going to come find out in December and January, man, if you can't run the ball, you're running the risk of what's going on with the Pittsburgh Steelers. 2-game slide. I think they have the Patriots and the Saints left on their schedule.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is a team that's writing a recipe to be sitting around and be like, damn, they missed the playoffs.
Here's another thing, too. I've talked about the reality show that is the Pittsburgh Steelers. They're the reality show of the NFL.
Yeah.
But it's like the Kardashians, man. Say what you want about it. They're successful. And
Hell
they
yeah.
always do well. We're always going to talk. They're always relevant. So I want to recant what I said. I don't think it's bad leadership. I don't know what to say about it. It's crazy leadership. Because they win, though. Tomlin does all this stuff. Ben does all this stuff. He's dramatic. He's like
now
Hulk
you're
Hogan.
On the island, Jason. He recanted.
I'm not going to recant and say it's bad
Come
leadership.
On over
it
here.
Works, though. I can call it bad leadership. It's not my style. But it works for them. They're doing something right. Because I would have loved to have played on that team and been dysfunctional and win 2 Super Bowls.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Me
too. See, I'm not saying that this team has a chance to win a Super Bowl, but I do think that this team will still win their division and still get in the playoffs. And so they still have their flaws that they aren't going to fix overnight that we all can see. Obviously, Big Ben throwing interceptions and things like that.
Interception.
And calling guys out.
Shun. Not shun. It's not plural. It's not plural.
He's thrown 13 this season. You know the only one guy's thrown more, Sam Darnold, a rookie. That's a problem.
That's a problem.
Look, here's the issue with Ben. If you take Brady and the Belichick partnership, there's a partnership there, and they're committed to a style of play that works for the long marathon of a season. And when Tony talks about the dysfunction and the Kardashian nature of the Steelers, he's absolutely right. You got Khloe Kardashian out at wide receiver and Antonio Brown. You got Kim Kardashian at quarterback. Mm. You got Kendall Jenner set out the entire season in Le'Veon Bell.
You are good.
It's a little side.
No, he watching. No, he know all of
it. I love it. All of that.
It makes sense. It's a little sideshow everywhere of agendas.
Yeah.
And the team and winning is not the top priority. A.B. better get his numbers. Wow. Juju Schuster-Smith better get his numbers. Le'Veon Bell, if I don't get this contract, I'm out of here. Big Ben, I want to be a gunslinger, and I'm the Brett Favre. There's a lack of awareness of what it is the other great teams are doing to be consistent and win. This Pittsburgh team, by talent, should be at the top of the league. When you start throwing...
Oh, you still think talent is all it takes, huh?
No, I think a commitment to...
They're second in win percentage since Mike Tomlin's been there. Second to only Bill Belichick. Mm-hmm. So will you please stop trying to slice this up to where Ben Roethlisberger is a problem for a second... most winningest team
this
in the
year.
NFL. And
let's remember, we're talking this year.
Division. Why you ain't picking apart
James? 7-4-1, man.
Why you not picking apart James Conner like this? Because James Conner, since Le'Veon Bell decided not to come back, has only had 60
What's
yards.
James Conner getting paid?
Oh, now it's about pay scale, huh? So then why is Juju out there getting all this love? If it's by pay scale, Juju ain't getting paid. So here's the thing. 60 yards, 60 yards, 40 yards, 60 yards. Hey,
there's no commitment.
Hey, bro.
You got to run. You got to have touches in order to do better than that.
I give you
There's no commitment. And the reason why is because there's... If A.B. don't get his numbers, he ain't happy. If Big Ben ain't allowed to be a gunslinger, he ain't happy. Le'Veon done set out the whole year over a contract. Juju Schuster-Smith, Smith-Schuster, he wants his numbers. Again, by talent, this is where I kind of disagree with you, D'Angelo, is just like, by talent, Pittsburgh should be doing better. When you throw T.J. Watt onto their defense, and now they have a pass rushing force, their linebacker, secondary core, that's a Super Bowl team this year.
Yeah.
And it's not going to happen. And I think the quarterback sets the tone for their underachievement. And I love the guy.
There's no team in the AFC you can stretch and say Kansas City, but you just said it as well. Be careful, Kansas City, December, January time. So there's no team to fear out there. You can go with the resume
Houston.
Of the Patriots.
Houston, oh right now. Oh right my. Now, Houston.
Oh, my.
New England.
Oh, my.
Like, the San Diego
Chargers. Or just, like, respectfully. Well, that's not a fear.
Well, it's over the right. NFC, there's a bunch of teams.
There's two ways. Like you just said, I love that analogy. I really, really do. But I also will say, agree with you guys, too. They both work, though.
Mm-hmm.
But one works a little bit better. The New England Patriots. That's the way you do it. That's the gold standard. They don't do it that way. But they still win because they got the talent, the Kim Kardashians. It's not my style. I don't watch the shows.
I'm trying
to.
I do.
I watch House of Cards. It's better.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of who the other family, who's a high-class version of the Kardashians. That's who the Patriots are.
Mm.
And I'd rather be them.
Knowing you, the Waltons.
Time for a big story. Jason Whitlock, Marcellus Wiley. Joined by Tony Gonzalez and D'Angelo Hall. Let's move to Green Bay, where Aaron Rodgers and the Packers lost to the Cardinals yesterday. And after the game, Mike McCarthy lost his job. McCarthy had been at the helm in Green Bay for 13 years, leading them to a Super Bowl win back in 2011. But in recent years, the Packers have come up short in the postseason, and McCarthy's play calling and relationship with Rodgers have been called into question. I don't really have a problem with him getting fired.
You don't?
No, I have zero problem with him getting fired at this point in the season. I'd rather know sooner than later. I wouldn't want to be dead man walking for a month. Let me go.
John Coffey.
Yeah. Let me go. And I don't think this is disrespectful. He's going to get all of his money. You know, and now he gets to start his next job hunt a month earlier.
Man, this is Captain Scapegoat. This dude got respect. Respect that you can run your business the way you want to. We all know that the organization has went through a restructuring in the last year or so. So the balance of power upstairs has changed. And we all know when a new sheriff's in town, a lot of times they want to implement their new way and their new laws. Respect to that. But then you got to respect who you're talking about. As much as we give respect to one Aaron Rodgers for his greatness, being the most talented quarterback in today's NFL, can we start respecting the coaches in the same measure? When you talk about Mike McCarthy, look at these numbers in the terms of accomplishments. 13 seasons, 9 playoff appearances, 4 NFC championship games, a Super Bowl champion,
and only three losing seasons. And you see that losing season, you might start to think, oh, my God, what, 2-14? No. This year, 6-10 and 7-9. This is a coach that got fired midseason. That's only happened once in NFL history did somebody have the audacity to fire a Super Bowl winning coach in the middle of the season. This is blatant disrespect laced with some BS of, oh, I want him to get out there and get a head start on the coaching hunt. Oh, we can get time now to not make him a lame duck and get ahead in terms of our process, when we all know that all it takes is an executive search and your agent to go out there and smell around what's good for you. Do not wrap it and lace it like you're doing him a favor by letting him go early, because all those things could have been handled now or after the season. This is blatant disrespect.
I mean, I think it was tough because Mike McCarthy, to me, is a really good coach. The same breath we talk about Aaron Rodgers being great, how did he become great?
Thank you.
Somebody had to help him get there. And so I think some of the things Mike McCarthy was doing offensively was a little stale, a little stagnant. And so if he wasn't able to change his approach offensively, then I think a new voice needed to be heard. We all have heard kind of the rumblings in that building about the Mike McCarthy and the Aaron Rodgers relationship. Aaron's not going anywhere. Somebody had to go. I felt like they probably should have waited till after the season, because that man earned the right to wait till after the season. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't bother me one way or the other. He was going to be fired. And so if you're going to do it, why not go ahead and do it?
Yeah, well, the only way it wouldn't bother me is if Mike McCarthy said, hey, you know, if you guys want to let me go, which I don't think that's the case. That's what I heard. So, I have a problem with it for sure. I don't see why you would let him go in the middle of the season. This guy's pedigree, what he's done for that organization, it's ridiculous. You talk about Aaron Rodgers, though, not being creative. That was been the big talk.
Yeah.
Like Nagy, I guess, with Trubisky. You look at Goff with McVay. You look at Drew Brees, Andy Reid. They're coming with these creative offenses. I don't believe that here. I don't know. I wasn't inside the meeting rooms. First of all, his Randall Cobb was hurt. Geronimo was out. He's got rookies, St. John and the Marcus Valdez guys, rookies that are dropping balls. So the talent wasn't there. So they're not going to be as successful. But also to Aaron Rodgers' style of play. Of all the great, he's one of the greatest quarterbacks. Some people call him the GOAT. Of all the quarterbacks, would I want to play with a guy like that? No, because he is not even on my top 10 to play with. Not because he doesn't have the ability. It's because, first of all, he doesn't throw the ball to the tight end that much.
Jimmy Graham, where'd you go?
Jimmy Graham, nobody. I think the most tight ends ever caught a ball was 60. But I think that Aaron Rodgers is a big play home run hitter. I don't know if he has the patience to do what Tom Brady, what Peyton would do, where they can throw those 5-yard outs. Drew wants to go deep because he has all that incredible ability. He's probably the most talented quarterback ever. I just don't know. Yep. I'm anxious to see what happens now. The grass isn't always greener on the other side for Aaron Rodgers. I can't wait to see what happens now.
Yeah. I'm going to say this in all seriousness. If I'm Mike McCarthy and I have the first December in the last 12 years, 15 years, I don't know how long he's been coaching, where I can actually be with my family for the holidays. I say this in seriousness. That's a great opportunity.
It's
opportunity cost as well. You ain't got to embarrass me so I can go home for the holidays and have some spam with the family.
You're going to be embarrassed.
Spam ain't that good.
Money as he made, trust me, he ain't eating spam.
But here's the thing. Y'all like spam no more? Y'all got bougie. No, here's the thing. Man, here's the problem. Aaron Rodgers won a game in Buffalo, against Buffalo, and then criticized coach. This is where it all started. He went out there and said, something going on with the play calling and the way that this is handling. Mike McCarthy, y'all know who he is. Y'all been to Green Bay lately? I've been to Green Bay. There is an actual street named Mike McCarthy Way. And then they're going to do this to this guy when he has this already set up.
Give him all of December to Christmas shop and be with his family, make his wife.
Look at that. I think his wife is right there. Hey, Miss McCarthy, how you doing? Nice to meet you. Bye-bye.
Whether McCarthy's there or not, personnel needs to get a little better around Aaron Rodgers. I think they put so much money in him, you can't get the guys around him as good.
Let's flip to Aaron Rodgers. After the news broke, our buddy Terry Bradshaw put the blame for McCarthy's firing on Aaron Rodgers' shoulders. Take a listen.
This is Aaron Rodgers' 35th birthday today.
Yeah, it is. That's right.
So happy birthday, Aaron. You got you're 35 and your coach is fired. So got to make you happy, I guess.
I do think I think this is a ding on Aaron Rodgers' legacy. I think when you look at Brady over there and his long, damn near 20-year relationship with Bill Belichick. I think this happening with Mike McCarthy legitimizes people who question Aaron Rodgers' personality.
Oh, certainly this is going to be attached to him. I mean, there are other greats who have that coach killer moniker associated with their resume. Whether
LeBron it's James.
LeBron James. How about this? Magic Johnson. Like, you know, Magic Johnson can smoke the coach too before. And here's the thing. Aaron Rodgers, I think he's going to be even in a worse position because the way that he's doing it and the way he's done it has not been done in failure, but in success. Like, Mike McCarthy is a successful coach, is a winning coach, is a coach that has done great things and has given the championship to you and this organization, Aaron Rodgers. And for him to be the guy that is the reason a personality difference has really been the root of this issue, more so than I think hiding behind the play calling and the philosophy on offense.
Yeah, the grass isn't always green on the other side, like you said. I think Aaron is going to be he's going to be in for a rude awakening because depending what coach comes in there, he might not get along with him because Aaron is a superstar, When you're a superstar like that, you act a little different. And you can tell he acts a little different. And so depending on what coach gets with him, if it's not a young, like-minded coach.
It's been reports that it could be Jim Harbaugh. You imagine Jim Harbaugh?
I heard Josh McDaniels, too. Makes sense, somebody that he could respect or whatever. Makes more sense. Does it hurt his legacy? Yeah, I think so, for sure. But only time will tell. Because he has to make it work for the guy. And I think he can. He's a Cal Berkeley. We both went to Cal. I love Aaron Rodgers. But there are some things that you talked about not being surrounded with talent, and the guys go down. And I don't like to make an issue of money, but when you take that monster contract, and this is the difference between him and Tom Brady, when you take a monster contract, you better cross your fingers that nobody gets hurt because your backups aren't going to be that good anymore. That's what Tom does. He takes less money. He's surrounded by more talent. That's why they win football games. I think, $33 million a year, the highest paid player in the NFL. I would take a little bit less. I know we don't agree on that. If you want to continue that legacy of being a really good winning team, too.
I'm thinking about my family. I'm home for the holidays. I need that $33 million.
But when you talk about taking less from a quarterback, a guy who's always going to stay higher than $25 million contracts, it's a little different. When you talk about a corner taking less, taking his 10 as opposed to the 8 or 9, you know, that to me, okay, that's my money. I got to make sure my family's straight. But 25 versus 33, come on, man.
You living
enough money is enough money.
Stay on the floor. I'm on the ceiling. You ain't going to talk about what I can't get. I'm reaching for the stars.
I'm just letting you know. You won't win this game because of that.
Tony Gonzalez and D'Angelo Hall are here. Let's move to Atlanta, where Lamar Jackson just keeps on winning with the rookie quarterback doing enough to get a win as Baltimore's defense completely shut down Matt Ryan and the Falcons. Jackson is now 3-0 since taking over as a starter and had the type of game we've come to expect from him, running the ball effectively, but proving yet again he's limited as a passer. I've kind of flipped here. I say you stick with Lamar Jackson.
Yes.
They have a style of play right now. We're going to play great defense, and we're going to run the ball down your throat. And, again, I don't think it's built for the long haul. But no way I go back to Joe Flacco with this three-game winning streak and no one being able to show me they can stop this running game. I hate to say it. It sounds crass, but ride it till the wheels fall off.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. The end justifies the means. And it doesn't look pretty. It's not conventional. But W's, undefeated at the quarterback position. This Baltimore Ravens look at Lamar Jackson, say 3-0, let's keep going with it. And how is he doing it? He's not doing it with his arm. We all get it. He's not even doing it with the threat of his arm, even though more talented at the quarterback position than a Tim Tebow. But that running game and what he's done in terms of electricity to the running game and the defense has been backed up by not just wins, but by the numbers in terms of time of possession. Did y'all know that yesterday in the second half? Because even Eric Weddle came out after the game. He was like, I don't know if we played in the second half. And really? I was like, let me look at this time of possession. And it's insane. 24 minutes for Baltimore, 5:55 for the Ravens. Huh?
So a defense. For the Falcons, yeah.
For the Falcons. Yep. So the Ravens are sitting there fresh, teeing off. Number one defense, fresh like that.
This is a formula for success. Will it last forever? No. But all we need to do is keep John Harbaugh's job alive and sneak up into these playoffs and make some hay.
See, if they don't develop Lamar Jackson, though, as a quarterback throwing the ball, he won't be successful. And this team, in turn, won't be successful long term. Like, can he make some plays now and win a couple games? Yeah, I think so. I still don't think I don't think they'll win their division. I think they have a chance to stay in that wild card spot.
Right.
But I just think teams will figure it out. Like, the threat when RG3 was my quarterback, of him running and Michael Vick as a quarterback running, it wasn't because, oh, man, he can run. If that's the case, we'll just put running backs at quarterback. It's not that at all. It's the threat of them passing the ball downfield and then surprising you by scrambling out and running and making a big play.
Gotcha.
And so even though they are winning football games right now doing this, I just don't think they can sustain this, and I think teams going to ultimately break this kid, man.
That's what off seasons are for, though. I can fix this
guy
in off
season. But you believe if a team has to win a game right now, if Bill Belichick had to beat Baltimore right now, you don't think he can come up with a game plan?
Oh, I know he can.
I know he can, too.
I know he can.
And some coaches just can't do that.
Not yet. And they will figure it out.
Yes, they will.
Right now, they're having lightning in the bottle. This is Vince, I forgot his name, from Texas.
Vince Young,
when he came in, he went on a little run. Tim Tebow, he came in, they went on what? They went 8 in a row that year.
Yeah.
This kid, RG3, they go on a little run. This kid is going to get hurt. Okay, yesterday in that game, he went out for the game for a little bit, went through a concussion protocol.
Yeah.
It is a matter of time. It's not if. It's just when. This is not sustainable. We sat here with Michael Vick. The most carries he ever had in a game was 15. This kid had 27 in the first game.
He's going to get hurt. Yesterday. Yeah, 17. Yeah.
This is not going to work. I'm telling you right now. I doubt he makes it to the end of the season.
The one guy who hit RG that woke him up to say, man, I can't keep doing this, Haloti Ngata, big D tackle from Baltimore.
I don't know. It looked like Mike Shanahan hit RG3 a lot harder than that.
I'm talking about what got that ACL kind of loose.
Putting him out there in that playoff game, knowing that dude was not going to survive
but
that.
Even before that, Lodi not to hit him. At some point, this kid's going to get hit, man. And
but this goes back to what I was saying earlier, and we talked about it, I think, last week. Do you think they know that they missed on him? Because you're saying develop him as a passer. And the same thing could have been said about Tebow. He was a first-round pick, too. He can't throw the ball. Can this kid is he capable of being developed? Is he going to be able to be developed to that point? That's the key question.
Watching him in college, it gives you hope that this kid can throw the football.
Okay. Yeah,
watching
him
in college, I did not think that at all.
Yeah.
And so it's so different. Like, I compare him more to RG3 because RG could throw the ball in college, and in the league, he just couldn't necessarily read everything. And so Mike Shanahan put a very simple offense. We're going to run basically RPOs. We're going to run read option. You can pull it. Hit Pierre Garçon. That's the year Pierre had 120-some receptions that year, running all drifts. RG's first pass was a drift route to Pierre. He took it 70 yards in New Orleans. And from that point on, we were like, oh, man, I think we got something here. Mm-hmm. But it was very gimmicky. And sooner or later, teams started figuring it out. They started putting the guy in there, telling that safety, hey, don't worry about checking the fade. Don't worry about nothing but this drift coming from right there, which is like a bang, bang eight, little post. And so I just think you have to give him the ability to throw the ball. And, yes, he's going to make mistakes. I mean, we saw Baker Mayfield throw 3 interceptions in the first half. But it's okay. Let him make those mistakes. Let him learn from it. Because he can when you can run the ball with your feet, ask Mike, man, it just gives you so much more of an
advantage. He's going to be dangerous if he can get the pass down.
I don't see – right now in the passing game, it's a long development process.
Yeah, long.
You're right.
And so – I think for this year, for John Harbaugh trying to save his job, trying to sneak into the playoffs and say, how you gonna fire me? I just made the playoffs. I think they have to continue with this. It probably is a little bit unfair to Lamar Jackson, but Lamar Jackson, he wants to be on the field. He wants to be contributing and playing, and he's probably got no problem with it. Tony Gonzalez and D'Angelo Hall are here. Let's move to New York, where the Giants held on to beat the Bears in overtime yesterday, but they almost blew it, giving up a 10-point lead in the final minutes. One of the key plays in New York's fourth quarter meltdown was an onside kick recovered by Chicago, where Odell Beckham Jr. didn't exactly give up his body going after the ball. Even still, Odell pushed back against people who were questioning his effort.
People are going to question your effort for that onside kick. It's already out there. People would say that.
That's fine.
What would your response be?
It was a great kick. You know, sometimes somebody makes a better play than you do. You know, I can dive in there and still not get the ball. So, you know, it was a very tough call. Nobody should ever question my effort or my heart. That's the last thing you could do. You can question me as a person, as a man, whatever you want to do, but my heart and my effort can never be questioned, ever. It sounds like a question that, you know, it just was you just asking just to ask, kind of, you know?
No one can question his heart and his effort, ever. Well, he was definitely business casual on that onside kick, and it's worthy of being questioned. He's ridiculous here. Of course he can be questioned about his effort. Everybody can.
Everybody can, and certainly with evidence like this, we are going to question you. Look, Odell, you got caught. Admit it. If you don't want to admit it, shut up. I'm going to call you out right now for what this is. Every single football player I ever saw in the NFL was special. Like, there's a little something in that head between those ears that makes them different than the rest of the population. And then there are special teamers. And even in the special teamers, those are the guys who probably can't make it on the O&D front 11. But guess what they could do? Go out there and be kamikaze for these certain plays. And then there are special ops, special operations. And I'm going to tell you, in all my experience of playing football from age 8 to age 32, there's only one play in football that coaches never say practice it full go, and it's the onside kick. You know why? Every level I've been on the onside team, I've been on the hands team, coaches never said full go onside kick this. He's like mental reps, because when you are out there, it is realer than real. And Odell found out the hard way, because he didn't get the perfect bounce at that moment when that leg was flexed. He was like, I got a family. And then, and then there's a football. And he had a choice. And he made the most business casual decision to not go in there. And I understand why. Because there was a time where I didn't want to go in there. But when you're a special op, you got to do it, because you're not on the O. You're not on the D. And he's like, I am the star. No way am I going to sacrifice on this altar. He didn't go in there.
Look, I would like to think if they were in the middle of the Super Bowl or a playoff hunt that he would dive in there and get that.
But
there's
Cam Newton
style? Many guys that missed blocks on that team. You know, I've been that guy, and I've dove in there, and I've got the ball. But I've never dove in there and got the ball with nobody on my front line having blocked anybody. And so, I mean, I understand where he's coming from. I don't question his heart, because I've competed against this dude, and he is a dog on that football
field.
Nah,
ain't no dog on that
field. He goes
hard.
That play. But Marcellus, you telling me.
Yeah, I'm listening. I've been there.
I played corner, have locked guys down. Mm-hmm. Some of the best athletes in the world.
Yeah, that's cute out there.
But I've also went and played punt return team where I'm holding up the gunner.
We all went full go punt team.
I don't quite give it the same effort. You know, I don't think we all.
Hey,
have you played punt return team?
I've done. First of all, I was a running back.
Did
in
you
college.
Give it
yes,
the same
I
effort?
Yes, I did everything. I know what
I
you're
know
saying.
You
every single play has
Marcellus
been practiced.
Did not give it the
every
same
single
effort.
Play has been practiced at full speed except one. That
I'm
one.
I'm not even talking about practice. I'm talking about in the game.
That's my point. Coaches don't even want to put us in danger of that play. He found out that danger was code red in that moment. He tapped out.
Hey, I have no problem with the play. No problem at all, because I've been there. Yeah. I went up when I first got to the league. We had this special teams coach, and he came to me. He put me on everything, because I'm a rookie, right? And so you're on kick return, punt return, all that stuff. I went to him. I said flat out, I said, Coach, I'm not a punt team. I'm not a special team type guy. I'm gonna let you. I'll do the returns, but I'm not running down there busting wedges and do all that stuff. And he you know, called me the P word and said, yeah. I said, I don't care. You can call him whatever you want. Right here, Odell Beckham, for sure. I would say if I was him, I would have done the same thing. I'm not diving in there in that situation. First of all, I would have been like, can't you get somebody else? I make $20 million. They need me to go out there and catch balls.
Thank you.
People probably don't want to hear that, but I'm telling you the truth. But Odell needs to go up and tell his coach this, too. Like, hey, you might want to get somebody else in there.
The guys on that team.
I'm not the guy for this.
The guys that are on side.
Look at all these guys unblocked, though, man.
But typically, that's the bottom of the food chain. Like, the mentality, at least.
Why is he out there?
Exactly.
In that position. I don't like him being in that position. Dan Marino, real quick, I want to say, Dan Marino said this. He said when he throws interceptions, he would walk away. I heard the story. And Dan Marino was like, and they're like, why would you do that? You threw the interception. He's like, that's not my job. Those guys got to go make the tackle. Dan Marino now. Okay? I don't blame Odell for this.
I'm going to agree with you that the effort's bad, but I get it. And unless it's the Super Bowl or the playoffs, and I do believe this. And again, I'm a critic of Odell's. If it was the Super Bowl or the playoffs, I think he would have made a play on the ball. Regular season, we ain't going to the playoffs. Eli Manning's my quarterback. I'm already putting up with enough. I'm good.
Right. But you, so you agree with his actions, but you also agree with me in terms of answering the question, which is, we can question your effort on this play.
No question.
He's in an impossible situation, yeah, but you still tapped out.
You did. You tapped out.
You tapped out.
He definitely tapped out.
Come on, Odell. Get it.
I think we all would have tapped out in the
team. That's the team. And Marcellus Wiley, hey, say he's never not.
Before
100%.
I started, I would have went in there. After I was a starter, nah, B.
You're still starting.
Hey, we still could win. They still won. They still won.
The guy who was taking some heat yesterday, Cam Newton, he threw 4 picks in an ugly loss to the Buccaneers. Mm. For much of the season, Cam has been playing his best football in years, but the Panthers have now lost 4 in a row. And after the game, it was clear Cam took his bad day to heart.
It was a personal blow for me. Being that I just got to take care of the ball, it's a low percentage chance you're going to win a football game if you turn the ball all over 4 times. And that's just carefree. That's just carefree football. We can't have that. I can't allow that. Can't accept that for myself. And I just got to do a better job with you know, my accuracy and decision making.
Yeah, I watched a lot of this game, saw the interceptions. I'm a huge Cam Newton guy.
Yeah.
Thought he was off to a great start this season, and it's falling apart for him. And the Norv Turner fix that seemed to be in is Cam's broken again. Mm. I don't know if it's health-wise or whatever. They had to put a guy in to throw the Hail Mary at the end, but Cam's broken right now. I'm not – the MVP Cam days are behind us.
I can't go that far. I would say that MVP this year for Cam Newton only got brought up by one prominent national reporter and journalist by the name of Jason Whitlock. That's
early
the only
the
dude
season,
I ever
he
heard
was balling.
This year said Cam Newton and MVP in the same sentence. Yeah. Now, I step back from that. Now, one, Cam Newton wore that outfit thinking they were going to roll Tampa Bay. He was like, just go hurt him. Oh, I hate when you waste a good suit on a loss. Oh, I used to hate that. Here's the thing about Cam Newton. The numbers suggest that this is not a horrible Cam Newton. As you said, Jason, the numbers suggest that even Matt Ryan is taking some heat despite him playing well on a team that can't find their way in terms of the win column. So it's a different math in the NFL. It's a different arithmetic. But this was untimely. This was careless. If you look at Cam Newton, I think in totality, this was a step forward this season. His completion percentage is career best. I think he's on to something with his offensive coordinator and Coach Norm. But here's the problem. Every time you build in the peaks for Cam Newton, don't forget to build in the valleys. And Cam Newton is built to give you some lulls here and there. This was just one of them.
I think something really is wrong with Cam as far as just throwing the ball. Cam used to be a guy who could get that ball wherever he needed to, could throw it harder than anybody I've ever seen. And for him to have to be subbed out, even before he was subbed out, he threw the ball that landed at the 15-yard line. And I'm looking like, what? That was supposed to be a Hail Mary. What's going on? I never knew he had a shoulder injury. And so I just think he's not able to get that zip on the ball. And as the season keeps going, he's not able to get the ball where he needs to get it to. And so he is throwing some picks. He is forcing some balls. Some of those throws are just bad throws. And some is just like, oh, if he could put just a little bit more on it, he could get it, you know, he could get it there. And so I don't think this is it for Cam. I think he needs to get healthy. Because for him not to be able to throw the ball, a guy who normally can throw the ball 70 yards, for him not to be able to throw it 50 yards down the field, I think something's really wrong with his shoulder.
I think he's just in a slump.
Yeah.
I think he's in a mental slump right now. And I think we've all been there. Mm-hmm. You play sports, you're going to go through that time where you're starting to question yourself. You're starting to doubt yourself. An article came out last week. He said, coming into this game, he was like, I'm not playing the best football I've ever played. Just even saying that, vocalizing that. I would have, if I'm his coach or somebody close to him, I would look him right in the eyes and be like, Cam, you're better than this. Stop saying that. Get back to that old Cam. You got the ability. Now, if you hurt, we've all played hurt, though. So you can go out there and get this done. His problem right now is all mental. The numbers are up. He's having one of the best seasons statistically ever. So are a lot of quarterbacks with this new defense. Mm-hmm. But still, his numbers are up. To me, it's right here between the eyes.
Tony,
he needs to get that correct.
Have you ever stepped on that football field with a little nagging injury and you just don't quite feel yourself?
Yep.
You don't want to go up there and press this guy because I hurt my knee last week, and I probably shouldn't be out here, but I'm out here landing on the line for the team. And you don't quite play with the confidence you have. And kind of what you said. When you talk about mentally with Cam, I think mentally he knows he can't do some of the things that he's used to doing, throwing that football. And so he's not playing very well.
I'd say that when I have felt that
but
way.
He does look mentally.
I tell myself I can go.
Yeah.
I can go. I got like Jordan, whether he was hungover or sick, that sick
but
game,
Cam
he went through
it
and go for it. Go get it.
Guys I've seen on a football field, and for him to make that statement lets me know he's
my
not
problem,
as confident right
my,
now.
My issue with Cam, having watched virtually every game this year, I love watching Cam Newton. I think Christian McCaffrey is actually carrying Cam. Hmm. That's the conclusion after early in the year, six games in the season, I was like, wow. My eyes were big. I was like, this may be an MVP year for Cam. I love it. As the season has worn on, I'm like, wow, Christian McCaffrey really added something there. You can dump the ball to him, and he's making plays. And so maybe McCaffrey's been playing well, and he's carried Cam as far as Cam can be carried.
I can't go there. I know we're short on time. Here we go. Cam Newton had three straight games, two touchdowns, no interception, amazing. Then he went out there for two of three games, 80% in terms of completion rating. I understand these are all numbers, but look, Cam Newton, before yesterday, two touchdowns, one interception, three touchdowns, one interception, two touchdowns, one interception. Like, Cam Newton has fallen off by any regard. Let's not get that narrative out there.
Catching these touchdowns, though, just like Whit said. It's McCaffrey.
Oh, yeah.
He's catching and he's making guys miss.
You have to watch Cam. You can't watch the stats. Mm. And when he missed that two-point conversion, that tells you something about Cam and his accuracy. And to me, I'm like DeAndre. I think there's something physically wrong. Let's move to college football, where we saw a stunning turn of events in Saturday's SEC Championship with Jalen Hurts taking over for an injured touchdown Tua and leading Bama from down 14 to beat Georgia. The game was the mirror image of last year's national championship against Georgia, where Tua took over for Hurts and led Bama to the win. After that game cemented Tua as a starter, a lot of people expected Hurts to transfer, but he stuck it out in Tuscaloosa. I think that that game this weekend justified, solidified his decision as the right one. I think Jalen Hurts is the gold standard for what I would want a young man to play college sports to be. I just, what an amazing performance. It damn near brought me to tears. I was so proud of that kid. And again, I think that moment justifies his decision to stick around at Alabama.
See, I'm not going to confuse the two. I thought it was an amazing story. Like you said, almost a tearjerker. The universe owed Jalen Hurts this moment, right? But what is this moment? Was it necessary to sacrifice a year of eligibility for this moment? I say no, because he was already going to be an Alabama football ambassador for the rest of his life. He was already going to be respected and highly regarded in Alabama circles forever. This is a guy who only lost two games as a national championship quarterback for Alabama football. I would not tell my son, an effort of being this great ambassador, which you already are, is to sacrifice a year of eligibility. And furthermore, next year you're not going to be on that same roster. So why not go somewhere and transfer and get 2 years wherever you're going to land versus just 1 year to cement a legacy you already have cemented?
Liz, it's not about a legacy. I heard the kids' comments after the game when his father, when they were crying, after the national championship game, he lost his job, Tua comes in, does a great, they're crying. And his father said, you know what we're going to do? We're going to compete, because that's what we do. And it reminded me, when he told that story, I tried to quit my sixth grade football team because I was the only good player, and we got our butts kicked every game. And my father was like, what? Mm. You know, no way. And looked at me with such a look of disappointment, and I went back, and we played. I think we ended up winning one game that whole year. But to me, Jalen did his family, did his name. His name is gold everywhere in America because of what he accomplished this year. If he goes and plays in Illinois or some other lower level, it doesn't match what he just did this past Saturday helping Alabama defend their national title.
Yeah, I get it. Look, his name is gold around Alabama forever.
No,
college
across
football.
America.
Across America, yeah, but let's make my name platinum, coach. Guess what? I want to go somewhere and get my shine on, fully committed to getting to the next level. You don't
I have not met the recruit yet that has said, I declare to go to Alabama football and is not thinking pros, right? So let's not lose sight of our goal, son. Let's not lose sight of our goal, Jalen Hurts. Your goal is not to just be who you are, which is a great in Alabama football. It's to get to the next level. You're not going to get there on the bench.
All right, listen, we're supposed to talk about Oklahoma and whether they belong in the playoffs. They do.
Yeah, yeah, they do.
So I'm going to stick on this. I'm going to stick on this topic.
Yeah, let it go.
You go to college, and I believe this kid did because of he's got great parents. You go to college to develop into a great young man.
Yes.
And so going to the NFL, I know a lot of guys go with that mentality at 18. But by the time you get to age 20, 21, 22, like Jalen Hurts, you should see a bigger picture. And I think he does see a bigger picture. His development as a young man has been incredible through this experience. Sometimes this kind of adversity will serve you for the rest of your life. For the next 50, 60 years of his life will serve him. I tweeted this out and I believe it. One day, if this kid ran for president, I would be on board 20, 30 years
without even knowing his politics, huh? That's how you vote, huh?
That kind of character, typical. Yes. That kind of character,
look,
yes.
Look. At what cost are we attaining all of this love and accolade and respect? That's all I'm saying. Look, Jalen Hurts was already a 9 in ambassadorship for Alabama football, even before the SEC football championship game. He's won a national championship game before. So all I'm telling my son is, what a degree of increase in terms of fandom and love and respect are you going to get by having another moment like this versus 2 years of eligibility somewhere else?
You're looking at it from a fan and being celebrated.
I'm talking about my son.
I know. I think Jalen and his father look like, as a man, do people respect you more as a man right now, having gone through this experience and done what you did? You could sit here and think Alabama may have did me wrong, but I'm a better man, and I'm seen as a better man from this experience than almost anything
else. But that's perception, and that means I'm defining myself based on what you see in me, and that's not priority. That is highly regarded, but priority is, did I define my life? Did I dictate terms, and did I live up to my dreams? Did I chase my dreams? Don't cut them short because now you had to compete. Alabama hasn't done anything wrong to Jalen Hurts. Think about it.
I agree.
All they said is, compete, oh, you're the best, until we got something better. Now, if you're not good enough in that situation, that's okay. Coaches transfer, players transfer. That's the system. Your goal. What was your goal when you went to Alabama? If that's my son, I remind them of that goal. Don't let them beat that goal out of you because now they got Tua and they've moved on beyond you.
I'll just say this. If I had a Heisman vote, it would probably go to Jalen Hurts. Mm. He is the greatest thing I've seen in college football this year. All right, Marcellus, it's my favorite time. They done stole my Twitter off
from me. Who stole it?
I don't know.
Kaepernick?
I don't know who stole it. But our social media manager, Darnell Smith, is here to tell us what's popping on those Twitter streets. What you got, Marcellus?
Marcellus?
What? Long weekend.
You had a long weekend.
Celebrate my birthday. You doing too much.
Will, I was turning up on
you. He was getting it. I love it.
I'm just playing. Let's start off with the big fight this weekend. Fury versus Wilder didn't disappoint. Mm-mm. Fight went 12 rounds and ended in a draw, but still, Twitter was buzzing all night about it, especially Fury coming up off the mat after a big knockdown. Fox's new boxing analyst and former heavyweight champ Lennox Lewis gave his 2 cents, tweeting, I just saw Tyson Fury come back from drugs, depression, 2 years of inactivity, and massive weight loss to outbox the WBC heavyweight champion who was gifted a draw. Social media was split on this decision. What do y'all think won the fight?
I think we won the fight. I was entertained.
Yeah.
I'll be entertained again. I do think Fury probably won the fight, but when you get knocked down twice, you can't whine.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. Lennox Lewis nailed it. Exactly those beats. He had a better performance, better showing. Too close to call, too close to take away from the economics of a potential Wilder-Anthony Joshua fight. So we're going to save you and call it a draw. Asking for a rematch to build up another fight that no one saw coming between Fury and Wilder Part 2. But that was an amazing fight, amazing contest. But
Ooh, Wilder. Hey, hey, get your skills up, man. I mean, he underestimated him. He saw the belly fat. He was like, this dude can't hang with me. Hey, bro, throw your left and uppercuts next
time. Wilder's going to be here tomorrow. I can't wait to hear you say that to
right.
Me.
Oh, man, my birthday on... I'm not coming tomorrow after all I just said.
I'm going to give Lennox Lewis a little Twitter off. I love tomorrow, Lennox. Right?
Yeah, I don't have a tomorrow.
Problem. Right. I don't have a problem. All right, Darnell, what's next?
Yeah, we're going to move on to Marcellus' Buffalo Bills.
Let's go, Buffalo.
Who lost the game to the Dolphins.
Oh, man.
And then lost their cool afterward with hybrid defensive end Jerry Hughes getting into it with the referee in the tunnel. This video went viral after the game, but Hughes tried to play dumb in the locker room afterwards. Take a listen.
I did.
Yeah.
I did what?
We saw you go up to the official.
What did I say? If I did go up to the official, what did I say?
I have video that shows you
okay.
saying
I would
that,
love to
that
see
he
the video.
Called him, that you were referencing he called you a
Yeah, I would love to see the video.
So and that did not happen that way?
I would love to see the video.
I mean, you were obviously about, you're saying that did not happen.
Then. Right, and I said I would love to see the video.
I thought it was pretty funny. But Marcellus, you got any advice for the Bills DN?
Yeah, it's two words, no comment. You want to get sophisticated, plead the fifth. Whatever you want to do, but that little S-curl started getting wet because he was lying. That West curl was dripping on him. Jerry, you got caught slipping and then try to talk your way out
Yeah,
of it.
I think it was a show called Beretta when I was a kid. And it was a don't do the crime if you can't do the time.
Yep.
So, yeah, they caught you, man. I want to see the video. I found this humorous and entertaining.
Yeah.
He says the referee called him the B word. I tend not to believe that. He probably told him to quit bitching. I can believe that. Mm. But the ref actually calling him the B word, I'm not sure. But then when he gets all ghost like this, like, what happened was...
Yes.
Let me see the video.
Right. Soul glow everywhere. Like, no, you lying your butt off. I ain't no Fox. We could get down like that. I like how you use it. Okay. You just opened up my mind.
If that's the case, right.
He just said it so simple.
Smooth. All right, man.
All right, dude. What's next?
Let's switch to another big fight this weekend. Belichick versus Thielen.
Oh, yeah.
Cameras caught these two having a heated exchange during yesterday's Patriots-Vikings game. And I'm not a lip reader, but it's pretty easy to see what the four-letter words were used here. Hmm. And social media couldn't stop talking about it. I personally love seeing this. In football, we know it's a lot of emotions. But do y'all like seeing Belichick mixing it up with Thielen here?
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, are you going to go this word too, Whitlock?
I'm not going to go this, but it was an F. An F was involved.
Okay. Hey, all the complaints are about Belichick keeping it close to the vest in the press conference, never giving you personality. I try to tell y'all, Belichick is a real dude, and he really went real on Adam Thielen. I love that white-on-white crime.
I was not taken aback by Belichick. That doesn't surprise me. Mm. I was surprised Adam Thielen got into it with Belichick.
In what way? Free agency? What you talking about?
Free agency, just like, man, that is the greatest coach of all time, and I'm yelling and fussing with him. That kind of surprised me. Mm. Belichick is a guy I would just kind of leave alone. Belichick is like, yeah, like, oh, okay.
Look at you.
I'll get at you.
You're so political, always thinking about your next job. Why just stay still and be you? Like, look, first of all, I love Adam Thielen going at it. Belichick's going to respect that fire he saw from a great player. He's the greatest coach of all time, not a perfect coach. So guess what? You stepped in it too, coach. I got some words for you. We can still work
together. All right, let's see what's trending.
Yeah, man, first things first this morning, the guys were reacting to the Texans 9-game winning streak, and Chris Carter was asked if the Texans were Super Bowl contenders. Take a listen.
I haven't seen an NFL season where a team won 9 games in a row. I didn't consider them a chance to be able to make it. When you look at, there is no dominant team in the AFC, you have to consider what they can do. Yes. Houston, man, they got a chance. Yes, when you got J.J. Watt and them, you got a chance.
Y'all agree with Chris here?
I totally agree. I was on this bandwagon last week. Chris has nailed it. You got J.J. Watt, perhaps the best defensive player in the league. And then you got Deshaun Watson, this young, exciting quarterback, to me, that's getting better every week. I love the Houston Texans' chances. They, along with the Chiefs, to me, are the favorites in the AFC.
Yeah, it's interesting. I agree with it because of why you say this. And you said it last week. Chris Carter just said it now. The definition makes me agree because no one else out there looks like they're leaps and bounds better than them. So that's an interesting case to be in terms of you're not better than everyone. You're just as good as everyone else. But I still think Kansas City is tier one. And then you talk about all these AFC teams. And you could throw Houston at the bottom of that tier two. But still Patriots, still Chargers, a lot of other teams that would mean better than Texas.
Love the Texans. DeAndre Hopkins balling out of control.
Always.
All right, thank you, Darnell. All right, our approval rating today is on Big Ben. Here to help us discuss it is Uncle Jimmy. Dr. Phil Stupid, or what are you, Dr. what?
Dr. Phil Stupid, Dr. Feel Good, Dr. Get It Done, okay?
Dr. Get It Done, what's up,
Speaking
baby?
Of getting it done, we're going to go straight to our Ben Roethlisberger. Let's get the highlight. Here's us talking about Big Ben earlier in the show. Hey, Ben, how about earning the right to protect the football? Try that and shut your trap. The gunslinger era of professional football is over. It's a game of efficiency now. Interceptions matter a lot.
This is a great leader. This is a 13-3 ball club last year. This is a team that's still leading this division, 1-6-8, and Big Ben's a large part of that.
Big Ben's a large part of their losing streak, Marcel.
Two games. You just barely got a streak out of it yesterday.
They only a half game in first place. But anyway, Uncle Jimmy, what's your take on our conversation about Big Ben?
Not bad. Not bad. I'm going to admit to you, you did good. You just didn't go far enough. Mm. And I know that's not your first time hearing it. You're tired of it. But you could have easily said that Ben Roethlisberger was a fat Eli Manning. And you could have easily got the same results.
Huh. He's Eli, huh?
That bad, huh?
Look, man, look, guys, Ben Roethlisberger's career is dying right before our very eyes.
Oh, wow.
And right now, what we're hoping we can do, and we're trying to get in touch with Mike Tomlin, trying to get him to go see Ben and get him to sign a DNR.
A DNR? What's a DNR?
It's a do not resuscitate.
Do not bring him back.
His career.
You are crazy.
We want to ask that we just let him go in dignity, just let him go in peace. And by all means, we don't want to create a situation in Pittsburgh like we have in New York with Eli. Everybody knows that rigor mortis has set in on Eli. They can smell him. He beginning to stink.
So you're saying Big Ben is dead?
I'm not saying he's dead, but I'm saying that the Steelers are in contact with Bishop T.D. Jakes right now.
Oh, man. It's a big funeral.
He's preparing the eulogy right now. Ben just doesn't have long left, guys.
Are you kidding me?
He's only got 3 to 5 good ones left.
Years or what?
Games. He got 3 to 5 good. I'm tired of the Steelers, man.
Why?
Steelers need to pick up with the times. The Steelers need to hire him a black quarterback. I'm going to tell you something, man. I don't like the Steelers. Never have liked the Steelers. I ain't liked them since they had Tony Dungy, and they made him a safety after he was a damn good quarterback for Minnesota. I ain't like what they did to Hines Ward.
Quarterback in Minnesota.
Tony Dungy. Tony Dungy, they made a safety.
He's a quarterback in Minnesota. He's right about that.
He's a quarterback in Minnesota. Hines Ward.
What about Cordell Stewart,
in Georgia. Cordell Stewart. Damn good quarterback up in Colorado.
Mike Vick?
I ain't got nothing to do with that. All I'm trying to say is, why the hell can't we make Ben Roethlisberger left tackle? What, he too big?
I can't do
it. He ain't built for it? Huh? We can't make him a left tackle?
He too slow to play tackle now.
He's beat up. Everybody
he's
else.
He's beat up. Man, that's crazy. Ain't dead. That team is not dead. This team is still winning the division. Why are you trying to kill him off already?
But there's, if you look at right now at the neurological responses, this happened. right now he's going off the charts.
Look, I will say this. In terms of job performance, and we'll get to our approval ratings, I think he's right. I think Dr. Feelgood, Dr. Jimmy over here is right.
I've got you.
Job performance for Big Ben down to a 13. All-time greatness also takes a hit. 1 point down to a 19. Character, I drop him a point here because I don't like all this blaming teammates and calling teammates out. He's not accountable. And authenticity, I drop him a point as well. I previously had Ben at a 61. I now have him at a 56, Marcel.
Job performance goes up. Let me help you out here. Look, they won 6 of 8 games. Like, y'all act like
they've lost 2 straight, Marcelo.
I give you that. That means they lost one, and then they played a great team in LA Chargers, who you don't respect, and then they lose another one. They'll right this ship, no problem. All-time stat. I don't even understand how do you change his all-time greatness because they lost 2 games.
you did
they
say
lose
shit,
2 games.
Right?
We're like, oh, he ain't a Hall of Famer.
My narrative on Big Ben is about his leadership now. Yeah. The lack of leadership is why his all-time greatness dropped.
Yeah, yeah, okay, Eli, don't lose any more games. You know how this goes. Character, authenticity goes up. Call out your teammates, you call out yourself.
It ain't pretty.
Respect.
I agree with Dr. Jimmy. DNR needs to be signed. That.